Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. Amen. 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 Well, thanks. We had several of you folks came out last Sunday night for that prayer time. I know it was a bit of a stormy afternoon and night there. Some couldn't make it. They hit some roadblocks and actually couldn't make it. So several folks told me that. But you know, I think more than half the folks there were impact people. So I was a happy pastor with that. And I just appreciate that you're catching that heart for the city and corporate blessing and that happened. And we want to see God visit the whole city. Amen. It's not about us, you know. God doesn't, although there's different fellowships and corporate fellowships and independent local churches that have their own redemptive flavor and gifting in the city, which is wonderful, the many faceted, wonderful blessing of God. We believe every one of them needs the glory of God. Every house needs to experience your increase in blessing, just to overflow with abundance. And we just thank God for just opportunities to open up the Budweiser Center and every other big barn in the city to see ridiculous harvest and increase. Amen. So that's what we're just commanding to come into expression and manifestation. And we know that God likes that. He loves that. We're not trying to create unity. And it's not that there's no unity in the city. God can't move. God can move. He's just looking for somebody. You know, just looking for somebody. So you can do that. You can move ahead. And I just thank God that we got a group of pastors really, really committed to move together. And we're moving into the union, the fellowship that is ours with the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And out of that union, there's an incredible flow of His blessing and love. So just thank you again. I think it's sometime in May. I think it's Pentecost Sunday. There's going to be an all-city corporate prayer meeting right here. So that's really good. So I didn't know that. They selected Impact Church. They said, Impact Church would be a good place to do Pentecost Sunday for a prayer meeting. I said, I reckon so. So thank you again. I appreciate that. And it just shows that, you know, we're committed to, we're putting our values, our faith, our prayers, and putting our money where our mouth is, that we're committed to God's glory covering this city and beyond. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to start a new series in the new year here. We're going to start a series called Uber. Now, Uber, you know, some people, Uber might have had a bad connotation back in the Nazi days and all those things, but we want to redeem that. Sorry, I got to turn my phone off here because I keep getting these beeps and things from my daughter. My daughter's having a baby today. Just thought I'd let you know that. Which, that is uber exciting. That's Uber off the chart. Uber baby. Uber granddad. Uber. So, I mean, last year, we're just coming in the new year and thought, what are we going to start the year with? And I just kind of randomly said, let's be Uber. I was just thinking of the, and I really thought about it, and that whole Uber sharing thing, that whole Uber taxi, Uber, that whole Uber context, I just thought of that. I didn't think much more about it, and really this week, I'm praying into it, what's going on, and just thinking about the whole Uber concept. How do you know there's a principle in the Word of God? It says, first in the natural, then the spiritual. You know, and there's things shifting in our culture, and sadly, sometimes the church is not the agent of transition or the agent of transformation. We're the agent of catching up, but we should be the agents of transformation and change. And when I think about Uber, I think about Uber Church, you know, and I think about what all that means. Now, Uber, the company Uber, interestingly, Uber's taken off. I think it was 2009 it began. And you can have, I got an Uber app on my phone. Who else has an Uber app on your phone? Anybody else? Who's actually used an Uber ride? Thank you. Interesting. Yeah, like a lot of people haven't. Most of them would be traveling or out of town or somewhere else. You know, Uber, you know, the political parties in the States right now, they use Uber more than any other mode of transportation. They do Uber. Uber's really cool because I can hit my Uber app and I can pick a driver. I can see where they are. And then I can see and I can tell them that I want this ride at a certain time. And then I can watch on my app and I can see how close they are to picking me up. It actually shows them. It's like our GPS is connected and they know where I am. But you can rate your driver as well. So if the driver was just brutal, you can go Uber terrible. And, you know, that person gets a bad rating. So the driver doesn't want to get a bad rating. The driver wants to get a good rating because they want to have Uber fares. They want to have Uber pickups. But you know what? The drivers can also rate the Uber users. They can rate you as a rider. And they say, that guy in my car was Uber terrible. Stunk bad, left a bag of chips in my backseat. And it's interesting how all that can go on. It's a very interesting culture how all that's going on. And so there are more women that have embraced being Uber drivers. They've just invaded the whole thing. They feel totally safe. They like the thing. They love the flexibility. They love the ownership. But the people who can't stand it are the current taxi systems and structures and municipalities who are just like, where did this come from? What are you doing? They're reacting. They're trying to catch up to what has happened here. And they're going, my goodness, we need to regulate this. I mean, what's going on? I mean, Candace, sometime in the last couple of days, Aviva has said that they will now insure all Uber rides, all Uber things. Pretty cool. So there's the obstacles everybody thought they would have. They're overcoming these obstacles, and the company is growing in a ridiculous way. Right now, you can take all the rental companies, put them all together, and value them all. Uber is valued more than all other rental companies, Hertz, Avis, all those things. It's surpassed all of them in value. In fact, give me another slide here. Uber was valued in 2015 at $61.5 billion. Wow. Uber crossed the $50 billion mark in five years. That was a feat that Facebook took 7 years to accomplish. Explosive stuff. So I'm like, man, this is Uber. So I'm just kind of catching up to all this rather early exciting. Go back one more slide. The other way. There, Uber Rush. In fact, now you can order a submarine sandwich and it might be delivered by Uber Rush. Some guy will show up on his bike, shove it in his knapsack, and bring you a submarine sandwich. Right now, there's places where if their own drivers are overrun, they can hook up their app. Businesses can hook up with Uber Rush, and they can rush you that if they're overrun, they can get Uber Rush, will run it for them. So, I mean, there's Uber Black if you want a more high-end ride. There's all these things. It's amazing how this thing is developed, and it's all developed in this whole networking and free kind of social network and market kind of area. It's just completely exploded. And so municipalities, regulations, they're all trying to say, what are we going to do to this? How do we respond to this? We need to deal with this. Oh, my goodness, they're going around the back door. This form of capitalism, this free market enterprise that has started up, and we don't have any control. We don't have a part to play. They've gone around the back door. They've bypassed all regulations, and they're just doing it themselves. To me, it sounds good, giving it to the man. You know what I mean? So I love that kind of stuff. So I was thinking about all of that. Now, a definition of Uber. Definition of Uber. Uber. Uber is being a superlative example of its kind or class. Uber. Uber awesome. Uber. It is the extreme or excessive degree. It is Uber. I'm going to have Uber grandchild. I'm going to be Uber granddad. I'm going to be Uber obnoxious. I'm going to have Uber pictures. And you're going to unfollow me on Facebook. I know it. Because it's like going to be messy. You can do translation things. So I said, I want to translate Uber into English. And when I pushed the button, it said supercharge. If you're Uber, it's a supercharge. Who wants to have a supercharged year? Supercharge. We're going to be Uber. It's going to be Uber impact, Uber glory, Uber amazing, Uber souls, Uber healing. Ha! Uber. We're going to have an Uber year, supercharged. The Greek equivalent is the word right there is sphodra. And that means vehemently or a high degree or to be exceedingly or greatly. That was when the wise men, when they came out and they saw the star again and they followed it, it says they followed it with exceeding great joy. I mean, not just joy, not even just great joy, but uber joy. They were uber overjoyed with the fact that they had a revelation that where the King of Kings was being born and they were so excited to walk into their destiny. So Uber, very, very exciting stuff. Uber. Now, John chapter 2, 14 to 17, it says, and they was found in the temple those who sold oxen, and he made a scourge, which means he made a whip. All right, so this is Jesus walks in, he goes, oh my goodness, look at this. They're ripping people off, they're money trading in the temple. I mean, people who don't show up with a sacrifice, they have to change their money into temple money, and they're just ripping people off on the exchange, and then they're selling them these, you know, special sacrifices. Jesus saw that, he got uber upset. When he got upset, it made a scourge, or literally that's the King James, but he made a whip. So you imagine you're one of his disciples. So Jesus walks in the temple, then he walks back out, goes over, gets some leather and a couple pebbles and stones and stuff. And then he sits down and they go, what's up, Jesus? What's going on? We're not going in? Not yet. What are you doing? Just making something. What's he making over there? And then you see, it looks like he's making a whip. How many ever thought the sign of revival would be a whip? So that's when Jesus came to his house and he said, this don't look like my father's house. I know what my father's house should look like. And I've got authority to straighten things out in my father's house. So he came and he had a whip. How many say, bring on the whip, Lord? I love you. This will hurt me more than it hurts you. Not really. But you see, he fashioned a whip and he came in and he overthrew the tables. And it was very gentle though. Please get out. Stop this. And it was pretty messy stuff. I mean, the guys all stood back. They went, oh my goodness. But it says, then they remembered. They remembered in the word of God. It said, make not my father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that this was written in it. In that same passage, it said, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. The zeal for your house has eaten me up. I want us to be uber this year, uber passionate about the things of God. I want us to be excessive and extreme. I want us to go off the chart. I'm feeling, I don't know if I'm excited about a grandchild or I just feel the glory of God. It's just good. It's going to be an uber season. We're going to talk about uber for things. But here's Jesus. You know, Jesus would have been uber. He would have been considered a little bit excessive. Like this guy's, and you see, and just like Uber, trying to, municipalities and government structures, religious structures, all tried to respond to Jesus, and they were all trying to put a harness on him and say, whoa, dude, settle down. And they came, questioned him. They always challenged him. What are you doing? And just like the whole Uber, that whole shared networking thing. I know I had the Airbnb, and that's another shared thing. You get an Airbnb app. And what you can do is you can just press that button and you can bypass all other, you know, cycles and you can get a bed and breakfast anywhere in the world. Sometimes you show up and you just got a bed in somebody's home, but it's a really good deal. And you can now travel places and get an Uber cab to take you to an Airbnb and your whole experience can be cheaper and you can get by quicker and do everything far more efficiently by doing all these things. But they're breaking all the rules. They're doing everything and it's just messing with the whole system. Some people are so concerned that one guy, he did Uber all month long instead of running his car, and he found out that if I Ubered all month long instead of my car, it was cheaper to Uber than to own my own vehicle. Now, that's frightening because if we stop buying new vehicles, how many know the biggest industry in North America, the car business, could go... Because if we decide, hey, we can share this, we can, you know, Fred has a car, he's Ubering people, I'll just Uber with Fred. That could really, you, we can't do this. This is frightening. We need to regulate this. We need to put clamps on this. Oh my goodness. I mean, everything, our whole economy, everything is at risk if these things happen. And Jesus, when he came in, all the religious people were like, this guy is doing things out of the box. He's not working inside the system. He's not working with us. He came from the outside. He's manifesting the kingdom. He's healing on the Sabbath. He's doing all kinds of crazy stuff. I mean, he's doing miracles. He's walking on water. I mean, that's not good. What if the kids try that tomorrow? I mean, you know. Jesus was Uber. Every day was Uber. Every day they woke up and said, what's he going to do today? But you know what? He was a different kind of person. They literally said, what kind of man is this? Everybody should be saying, what kind of person are you? What kind of man, woman, child are you? Because you are carrying the cloud. You are a cloud, the cloud of God's glory. Not a cloud, the cloud. Not a cloud of depression, frustration, and strife or smelliness. Some have their own cloud. But you got the cloud of God's glory that you're walking in. You are uber fantastic. You are uber blessed. You are there to really move and touch the world. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? So Jesus, he completely outside the box. He says, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. Luke chapter 20, 1 to 2 and 20 says, they confronted him saying, tell us, by what authority are you doing these things? Or who gave you this authority? Who said you could just, you know, jump on an app, register your car and start picking people up and making money? Who said you could do that? Who said you could just start your own business that quickly? Just ding, ding, I'm in. look, I got a call. You could be an Uber driver this afternoon. You could start making extra cash on the way home from church. Or better, you could just watch the people at the bus stop over there and don't drive by them. Put them in your car and take them home. That would be Uber awesome. They said, where'd you get the authority for that? So they watched him and they sent spies who pretended to be righteous. Isn't that funny? They sent spies who pretended to be righteous that they might seize his words in order to deliver him to the power and the authority of the governor. Folks, right now, just like when Jesus came, it was outside of the prescribed way. What God's going to do in these last days, it's going to be the same. It's going to be outside. It's going to come in a way you didn't expect it. Things are going to happen. You know, the church is going to go, hey, whoa, wait now. Hey, wow. You can't be having that much fun in church. I mean, you can't just say that you're hearing the voice of God. You can't just prophesy and speak things. You can't just have that much fun. You can't just expect the glory cloud to be. You can't. I mean, that's not. I mean, I like a nice tight service where, you know, you got some songs and one guy speaks and we all go home. It's about an hour long, maybe a little skit and a little hoodie-da. But I mean, don't have random people coming up and saying they heard from God. Don't have random people coming up and sharing their heart. Don't have random people blessing and praying for people. Keep it with the professional guy up front. Let him do it. I'm comfortable when he speaks and we all sit here. But when everybody starts getting involved, that gets kind of weird, kind of freaky. That's kind of outside my box. How many know it says when you come together as the house of God, each one comes and everyone has something. You know, you should come to church carrying. You should come to church packing. You should come to church ready with a burden in your heart. Like Stephen said, this has been percolating and busting me up all week long, and I got to share because it's bigger than me, and you need some. And you got to come uber ready to give, ready to bless, ready to share, ready to experience that Jesus Christ is networking his life in and through the body of Christ, and each one is giving and ministering and blessing one another. Two people were excited there. It was pretty good, you know. All right, well, I think that's uber exciting. Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, it says, and of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, and upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord shall accomplish this. I mean, the zeal, how's all this going to happen? How are we going to see the increase of government? How are we going to see this great release of his kingdom? How are we going to see the peace of God expand? How are we going to see it? The zeal of the Lord. Not the zeal of Fred or the zeal of Bob or, you know, just misspent enthusiasm, but the zeal of the Lord. Where the Lord in his passion, the Lord, the zeal of the Lord, it's the passion of God. It's the zeal of God. It's the fire of God. It's just a song. Oh, fire. It's just a song. No, that's the truth. We believe that. It's not just a peppy song. We need fire. Amen. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? You know, that same cloud that was a cloud by day was a fire by night. Same cloud that's a nice cloud, it's also fire. It's the fire, it's the passion, it's the glory of God. Isaiah 59, 17, he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing. He was clad over it all, over top of it all. He was clad with zeal as his cloak. I mean, over everything that he had on, the first expression and manifestation of the King of Glory is passion. It's zeal. The first thing you're going to be impacted by, it's pretty exciting when you're serving God. I don't know what's going on with this microphone. Should I grab another one just for fun? I'll try one of these up here. So it just keeps dropping in and out. How's that? Is that better? Awesome. Zeal. Can I get a zeal? Can I get a woo-hoo? I'm looking for an Uber congregation. Come on, shout it out. Woo! Hey! Woo! Now, I went to the Lions game back in, it was late November, early December, and they played on a Thursday night, went with a group of guys, and it was a game where the Lions were winning real good. They were up like 24 points at one time, and I thought it was pretty much done. But at the end of the game, it was the last play of the game, and on the last play of the game, there was a defensive penalty. But still, to get a touchdown to win the game, the quarterback would have had to throw the ball 71 yards into the end zone, and then somebody in the end zone had to catch it. You know, and it wasn't like just standing there, throw it to me. I mean, that was with a whole bunch of people defending and with people chasing the quarterback around. Then he's got to throw it 71 yards and somebody's got to catch it. So we're done. The game's over. But there's time's off the clock. I mean, the game is actually over. There's no more time. But because of that penalty, you had to play another play without time. Anyway, bing, bang, the guy backs up. Quarterback backs down. And he literally, the picture was he was like down like this. And he went, shoo. And he threw it. It was like, woo, I watched it. I said, no way, it doesn't matter. I mean, they're not just going to let somebody catch it in the end zone. But sure enough, this one big tall guy, he backed into the crowd, jumped up, pulled it down, touchdown. We were all like, woo, yeah, yeah, yeah. So you're like, what? He got it? And then you saw all their fans running out on the field and their team running on the field. And all the Detroit Lions were, what? And it was really anticlimactic because all game we were winning, going, Lions, you Packers fans. Sad to be a Packers fan. And they were miserable because they were getting beat bad. But at the end, it turned. We literally had Packers fans that had left that came running back in, running back to their seats just to point their fingers at us. And suddenly the whole thing shifted, and the zeal of the Lord was not on the Detroit Lion fans. There's a few people like, you point your finger at me one more time. I go, and literally there are people running down the street going, Packers, woo! I go, you're in Detroit, man. And you walking down the street yelling, Packers, woo! I tell you, you're lucky you're not shot. You know, but I mean, it was the whole atmosphere. But you know what? It's easy to tell. When you walked out of there, it was really easy to tell who won. Real easy. And sometimes you walk into church, and you walk into a place where there's a whole bunch of people condemned to a life of victory, condemned to overcoming, condemned to a relationship with a loving God who will never leave them or forsake them and meet every one of their needs out of and according to his glory. And you walk in and you go, my goodness, I'm actually going to go visit a place where people believe that stuff. And you walk in and it's like, we bring a sacrifice of joy into the house of the... Hey, back off there. That's my seat. Sit over here. You'd wonder who's winning. You really would sometimes. You know what I mean? But we're going to be Uber. How many know we're winning? I mean, no. I mean, God's crying out. You got authority. You're carrying a cloud. I mean, you're over the top. Woo! Well, I'm just not like that. Well, get like that. I've seen grown men at football games who sit in church like this, and they're like, wah, wah, wah! Amen. Romans 12, verse 11. Never lag in zeal. Never be lacking in zeal. Never not be at the boiling point. Never not be over the top, bubbling over, expressing, boom! An earnest endeavor, be aglow and burning. Look at all of those superlatives. I mean, not just zeal, earnest endeavor, aglow, burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. How many are sitting here right now serving the Lord? Nah, I'm just here because my parents made me come. Well, get over yourself. I mean, don't just sit there in the chair. Do it with passion. Don't just listen to a sermon. Listen on purpose. Listen hard. I've heard more shouts at a curling match. Hard! 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 And people say curling is boring. Well, it gets louder in there sometimes than it does in church. Zeal, enthusiastic devotion to a cause, ideal, or goal, tireless diligence in the furtherance, passion, fervor, jealousy, to be hot, to boil over. What kind of prayer gets answered? Fervent prayer. The fervent prayer of a righteous man makes power. It gets power into manifestation. It makes power available when there's fervent prayer. Praying with a bunch of pastors, you say, well, it doesn't have to be loud all the time. Does a pastor say, well, it does say shout unto the Lord. It does say lift up your voice, not shut down your voice. I mean, there are times to be quiet and all that stuff, but not very often. Amen. Now, Jesus didn't come to introduce a new religion. He came to introduce his new kingdom. He came to come and take over. I mean, Jesus, his mission was declared by John, his forerunner. And here's what he said. He summarized the whole ministry of Jesus. Here it is, wrap the whole ministry of Jesus up in one phrase. He's going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. Well, you're a follower of Jesus. You part of that group? You part of that new dominion mandate of people that are coming to manifest his love and his goodness in the earth? Yes. Well, says that group are baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. 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 The wise men came from afar. I saw one of those, what do you call them? The baby and the nativity scene. I went to one and all the wise men had fire hats on. And I went in and I said, why don't all the wise men have fire hats on? Well, it says in the Bible, the wise men came from afar. Came from afar. Wise men came from afar. All right, let's move on. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? Can I get a Gallup poll. This is one of the biggest surveys Gallup ever did. 13,000 people, but from 130 countries. And it's the only time they've taken such a large survey, considered more or less worldwide, surveyed people who do not go to church any longer. And it said, what would need to happen for you to return? Number one answer was, there'd have to be some passion in the lives of the members and the leaders. Number one answer. If I went back to church, I'd like to think that the people weren't going, I can't believe I'm doing this every Sunday. And they're all sitting there thinking of all the stuff I could be doing right now, but I'm sitting in here. And that's what they're sick and tired of. You see, we're going to be uber church. We're going to be different. We're not going to be quiet and reflective and sensitive. We're just going to be bah, bah, bah all the way. Can I get an amen? How many want to get a reference for some quiet churches before you leave? It's all good. We're going to have fun. We're going to most fun. You should. You know what? Jesus is a wild party, and the most fun should happen in church. You shouldn't be going, I can't wait for church to be over so I can go have some fun. You should be saying, why can't church be longer? Why can't we just get whacked in the Holy Ghost for long periods of time, drink deep, deep draughts of the Holy Ghost, and just, all right, settle down. But you just told me to cheer up. Well, settle down, cheer up. All right, Charles Finney, great revivalist. He said the primary cause of deception in surrendered believers may be condensed into one word, passivity. Passivity. Because of passivity falls into inertia, which opens the way for deception to invade. You stop being passionate about God, all other things will press in. You got to stay on fire. Far, say far, come on, say far, far. Charles Wesley, another great revivalist, Charles Wesley, they said, you know, how do you get those amazing crowds? I mean, you go into a field, you start preaching, all these crowds come. He said, I set myself on fire, and people come and watch me burn. You know, before he would start preaching, he would send people around to get people out of the trees. Please get out of the tree. Excuse me, sir. Would you please get out of the tree? I like being in the tree. I can see better. I'm not a very tall man, so I get in the tree so I can see. I know, but when he starts preaching, people fall out of the trees. Oh, why do they fall out of the trees? Well, the glory comes and boom, people just fall. It's the presence of God. We don't want you to hurt yourself. Well, I don't get what you're talking about. I just want to see. Sure enough, halfway through the sermon, people fell out of the trees. People were hurting themselves because the glory cloud came in. Oop. Fire. Amen. Amen. How many have you fallen out of your chair lately? Have you been in a service where you're just like hanging on? Excessive zeal. Right there. He also said, do all the good you can in all the ways you can, to all the souls you can, in every place you can, at all times you can, with all the zeal you can, and then sit on your can. No. And he said, as long as you ever can. I mean, do it. It's the zeal. Do it with the zeal, the passion of God. Catherine Booth, the Salvation Army, with her husband, they founded that movement. She said, if we are to better the future, we must disturb the present. Winston Churchill, one of my favorites. Winston Churchill said, without courage, all virtues lose their meaning. Said, history will be kind to me, for I intend to write it. People say, well, Rome wasn't built in a day. I said, well, I didn't build it. I mean, why would you settle for people trying to mess you down and push you down? And you know, don't do that. I'm writing my own destiny right now, and it's going to be speak well of me because I'm writing it. All right, I just like that quote. All right, Tony Campolo, he said, the church is emotionally dead. We don't even commit sin with very much enthusiasm. Kierkegaard, a philosopher, he said, this age will not die from sin, but from lack of passion. C.S. Lewis wrote a book called Screwtape Letters. It's all about the devil talking to a bunch of demons, rather an interesting book. But this is the devil talking to one of his low-level demons. He said, I will always see to it that there are bad people, but your job is to provide me with people who don't care. Provide me with people who don't care. Problem isn't bad people. It's the problem is a whole bunch of people who don't care. You know what? The church is the vehicle to change the earth. The bad people out there are not our problem. And trying to get them to not be bad people isn't even the problem. It's time for the church to be light. It's time for the church to loose the glory. I mean, bad people are bad because they're miserable. They're bad because they've never seen a good thing. I mean, my wife stopped to get some gum yesterday, and she forgot to lock her door, and sure enough, somebody at like 9 o'clock in the morning stole her purse out of the car. What a bad person. But you know, she went, that is such a pain. She called me, said, cancel all my credit cards and everything. The thing is gone. But she began to drive away, and as she drove away, she heard a voice say to her, turn around and go back right now. She turned around, drove back right now. As she did, she saw a lady walking in holding her purse. And she said, that's my purse. And the lady went, oh, yeah, I saw a guy running away with it, and I just came to bring it in. And Cheryl's like, sure you did. Give me my purse. Got to listen to the voice. Got to listen to the voice, because God will make sure nothing's going to get stole from you or ripped off, only if you're not paying attention. Got to pay attention. Max Lucado said, Satan's slyest agent is familiarity. So everything, you just become familiar. I'm familiar with church. In fact, I'm so familiar with the pastor, when his video came on, I never watched it because I'm sick of watching him. I'm familiar with him. But when Kelly's came on, I went, click. When Sarah's came on, I went, click. When Zach's came on, I went, click. But it was just the pastor. I listened to him all the time. My feelings were hurt because I can see how many clicks. I honestly can. And there weren't as many clicks on my video as Zach's. There weren't as many clicks on my video as Sarah's or Carly's. Carly had more clicks than anybody. What's the deal with that? If you all felt sorry for her, she might announce her pregnancy date or something. I don't know. But you didn't click on me as much. You know why? That's because you just got used to me. You just got familiar with me. You just write me off every Sunday. That's just babble mouth out there. Blah, blah, blah. So you got to pay attention. You don't honor the man of God in your world, your word is going to go poof. That's a true principle. Just thought I'd teach you that one. But you can't. You get familiar with stuff. I mean, his commission is clear, fatal, and is to take nothing from his victims, but to cause him only to take whatever that last phrase is. Amen. I think I got it here. Only to take everything for granted. Everything for granted. You know how awesome it is to go places? When I go to Dubai, and you know, they're only allowed to worship in little places and do little things, and I thought it's probably just a bunch of disenfranchised foreign workers and trying to do church while they're away from their, you know, homeland. But when I went to church, there was a passionate bunch of people who wanted to see the Emirates transformed, praying for the sheikh, praying for the king, the ruler over the Emirates, believing that the whole royal family would come to Jesus. And I was like, man, look at these people just going for it. Wow. Praying for a leader. It's not even a believer, but knowing that if we pray for him, it'll go well for us. The gospel will go forth. There'll be peace in our nation. Anyway, praise God. Jehu. I want to talk about a guy named Jehu, because we're gonna wrap it up in about a few minutes. Talk about Jehu, because here when I started thinking about people sharing rides, this is one of my favorite shared rides. One of my favorite, because Jehu was really, really cool. Now, Jehu's name is Yehu. Yehu! Come on, say Yehu! Yehu! I mean, just to call the guy you had, it was almost a party just to announce his name. Yehu! I mean, woo! Are you just happy? No, I want Yehu! I mean, woo! Yeah, I mean, your whole life, every time somebody says, Yehu! Yehu! Nice to meet you, my name is Yehu! I mean, that's pretty, seriously, I mean, I'm not making that up. I mean, that's the truth. That's funnier than you're laughing. But, you know, his name means Jehovah is he. Or literally, it can be put this way, he will blank.
He will.
Just fill in the blank. Whatever you need, he'll do it. If you need a breakthrough, yahoo! Yahoo is going to give you a breakthrough. I tell you, you need something to fill the blank. Yahoo! His name is literally God himself. God will. He is. What is he? He is whatever you need. He is whatever expression of him you need to manifest right now. He is. He is. That's right. Yahoo! I mean, that's a great name, isn't it? They should name our granddaughter Yahoo. That'd be awesome. In Yahoo, he exposed deception, inspired action, removed false religion from the land. You know, we need some Yahoo spirit in the church today, don't we? Hallelujah. Well, Yahoo, let's go quick now. So 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 3, it says a prophet was sent to anoint him as the king. So he goes, and this prophet goes in, and Elisha said, when you go in, take him by himself in a room, tell him what the word of the Lord is over him, anoint him as king, and then run for your life. Yahoo! Because I tell you, when you anoint him and the oil of God gets on him, trust me, you don't want to be in the room. Get out of there. So sure enough, this guy, and when he left, his friend said, what did that madman say? Why did they say madman? Because he anointed him and he took off. I mean, this is Jehu, who's just amazing. Flee and do not delay. Later on, verse 20, he's on his way to fulfill it. He's on his way to confront and tear down the destructive, you know, people of the day. And it says the watchmen, they sent out somebody. There's somebody coming. Send somebody to find out who he is. And Jehu's coming, just going hard. And this guy, the guy says, hey, are you coming in peace? Jehu said, shut up and get in line. So they sent somebody else out. Hey, they sent me to see, are you coming in peace? Shut up and get in line. And they said, who is it? I don't know, but the guys that went with them, they just joined up with them. Oh, you know what? Here's what they said. So the watch reported saying, he went up to them and he's not coming back. And the driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for he drives furiously. Should have named my son Jehu. My mother literally will not get in the car with my son. For the night we had the banquet, I said, I'll send Dylan to get you. He said, please don't. And she said, I'm dead serious. I will not get in the car with it. And it totally is. He drives furiously. And it's shocking to me that he's never had a speeding ticket or any type of ticket. It's shocking to me, honestly. He drives furiously. You know what? When your passion, when you move, when you're involved in what you're doing, your passion is a massive demonstration. People see you coming because you do everything with the zeal of the Lord. Except, amen. Yee-hoo! Right, 2 Kings chapter 10, 15, it says, he lighted upon Jehonadab, the son of Rechab. Now, Jehonadab was a priest, and Jehonadab and his whole family, they took a Nazarite vow. A Nazarite vow means you don't touch wine, you don't cut your hair, you don't touch dead things. There's a whole list of things you will not do because you want to separate yourself and be devout in areas of your life. You're going to separate yourself in certain ways, and that's your personal conviction that that's the way you're going to be. Now, Jehu was a party animal. Yahoo! So he had Jehu and a Nazarite priest all dressed up, long hair, done up, you know. He comes, it says he lighted upon him. It's like almost a random thing. But you know, Jehonadab wanted to do the purposes of God. Jehu wanted to do the purposes of God. And they came upon each other, and Jehu reached out his hand and said, is your heart right with mine as mine is with yours? He said, it sure is. He said, then give me your hand, get in the chariot. And he said, come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. Come on, just point to your neighbor and say, come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. No, really, go ahead, point to your neighbor and say, come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. You might now turn to the person on the other side and say, you're my second choice. All right. All right, really fast. You ready to go really fast? Who's ready? These notes are already on the website, so you can go to them. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, one translation says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Isn't that a horrible verse? I mean, that's a horrible verse when I consider that I can, me, God Almighty, all powerful, all everything, I can quench his purposes. I can quench his fire in my life. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. It wouldn't say that if you couldn't do it. Folks, this is going to be your fire, full on fire, constant fire, uber, uber, uber fire. All right? So listen, why do people lack zeal? Number one, go back, please. Why do people lose zeal? Number one, they lose focus. Like I said, the precious becomes familiar. Remember when you couldn't wait to come to church and you just, you know, you wished every day was Sunday and just, oh my goodness, I just want to sing with people. I just want to worship God. Yeah, I was just a young believer, a little zealous, you know, but now I've matured. No, now you're dead. Now you let the fire go out. Well, I'm just not like you. It's not me. It's not the zeal of Carl. It's the zeal of the Lord. I'm not saying be zealous like me. What's the anointing? The anointing is called the oil of joy. Are you anointed? Tell your face. All right. Malnutrition. No disciplines in your life. You didn't join us for the 10 days of prayer. Never clicked once when Pastor Carl's face was on there. And I'm gonna skip today. It's just Pastor Carl. Looks long, too. Others are 2 minutes. He's five. I don't got 5 minutes for him. Malnutrition. Fear of man. I'd say amen, but I'm afraid somebody might hear me. Good. Amen. No, really, don't be afraid. Amen. Let your neighbor hear amen. Amen is how you drink. Amen is saying gulp, gulp. Amen is saying I receive. Amen is saying yum, yum. Amen is saying give me more. All right. Yielding to disappointment. How many got disappointed? You know what? And disappointed can be a stop sign in your life. But don't, who cares about disappointed? Don't get disappointed. Don't yield to it. No purpose beyond yourself. You know what? It's okay if you do nothing, you don't contribute, you don't get involved, you don't say amen, because you don't care about anybody else in the room but yourself. So you don't care if you shout out encouragement and bless other people. You don't come prepared to give and be a blessing because really you got no dreams, no passion, nothing beyond yourself. You don't even have enough to fill up your bank, let alone give to somebody else. All right, that's why people lack zeal. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's not me. All right, now here's the next slide. Look at this. Why do we need zeal? Number one, it's a biblical imperative. Not a Carl Thomas imperative. Not this church imperative. Not our style. It's a biblical imperative. How many would like to be biblical? To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. All I ask is to be like him. A long life journey. Ryan, that's enough. From life. I mean, we want to be like Jesus, but Jesus is zealous. He's passionate. He's excited. He's, you know, he's as excited as, you know, Ryan is when he hears the drums being played. Woo! Zeal. First step to manifestation is zeal. It's passion. It's courage. It's boldness. Boldness is the first step to your breakthrough. Zeal increases willpower. Zeal changes lives. Zeal changes me. Let me give you one more slide. One more slide, and thank God my wife's not here, or I would feel the eyeballs penetrating my head. How to possess zeal. Are you ready? Believe zeal makes a difference. I don't believe zeal matters. That's the problem. Zeal makes a difference. Passion makes a difference. I mean, you see two people singing up here, one going. I mean, which one do you want to watch? Which one do you want to help lead you in the presence of God? Don't be sleepy. Or... I tell you, zeal makes a difference. Accept God's desire for your zeal. God desires you to have zeal. It's the zeal of the Lord. What's going to accomplish his government increasing, his peace increasing? What will accomplish it? Listen, it's not Dopey Sleepy Sunday. It's the zeal of the Lord. What's going to do it? You got to keep yourself in his love. Oh, my wife sent me a text this morning. I was in here just after 7, putting my notes together, and all of a sudden, beep. I said, good morning, love. She loves me. And she loves me on purpose every day. She does stuff to show she loves me. And she's keeping herself in love with me. It's awesome. Activate the deposits of God. I mean, you'll get miserable and you won't be zealous if you're not doing. I mean, how exciting is it for Stephen to stand up here and he starts to share something God's been doing in his life. And he's going, man, I hope I can speak English. I mean, I'm over the top. I can hardly contain myself. Why? Because he's doing something. He's loosening his gifting. He's being a blessing to the people of God. There's nothing like it. It's more blessed to give than to receive. You know, when you're doing what God's called you to do, man, boom, associate with zealous people. You know, it says water, you know, seeks its own level. Some of you in a very, very shallow puddle. You got to go deeper. I hang around with quiet people. I know. That's not about being quiet. It's about people who are passionate about their service and their love for God. You know, passionate about, isn't he awesome? And then when you're with them, it's just, that was so good. I want to run into them again. All right. Never forget who you are. Never forget who you are. Who are you? You're a child of God. I love that song. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I sing that phrase over and over again. I am a child of God. Come on, stand up with me. You good? Uber. We're going on an Uber mission trip this week. It's going to be Uber awesome. We thank you. We Lord, want to be Uber. We want to get outside of the box. We want to be like Jesus, not conforming to structures and things, but conforming only to you and just to what you desire and what you want. And we want to be people that are fully initiated, fully involved, and fully engaged. We want to be people that are passionate about our service for you, primarily because that's what you asked us. It's the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of zeal. It's the Spirit of power. And it's the zeal of the Lord that will fulfill these things. So, Father, we thank you. Never be lacking in zeal. Never be lacking to boil, to bubble over, to overflow. Thank you, Father. Now, listen, everybody's just going to bow their heads and close their eyes. I want you to listen, all right? Listen, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, or you are not sure about your whole relationship with Jesus, I want you to be sure. And if you don't know that he's your Lord, listen to me. He accepts you. He loves you. He took care of that sin issue. He obliterated it. When he went to the cross, he covered every single issue that would separate you from him. And he's now invited you, and he's saying, I totally accept you. The only thing is do you accept him? Do you accept that he accepts you? He's nuts about you. He's crazy about you. He's not offended by you in any way. He just loves you. And if you've never just fully accepted him and just embraced his love for you and you want to right now, I want to pray for you, all right? But listen, very simple. I'm just going to ask you to put your hand up in a couple seconds, and then we're all going to pray, and you're going to pray. And then somebody may come and just tap you and say, hey, let's get on this journey together, all right? But first of all, listen, right now, I don't want you to leave without an assurance that you have accepted him as your Lord and Savior. So right now, I'm just going to count to three, and if that's you, at the count of three, just put your hand up so I can see it. There's nobody else looking around. It's just between you and God. But he loves you. You ready? One, two, three. Just lift up your hand really high so I can see it. Really high. Really high. Anybody. Anyone. And you're all accepted and all loving Jesus and all accepted. He accepts you. That's awesome. Now we need to bring in some people who need to put their hand up. Amen. Let's get uber excited about inviting the lost and inviting our friends and filling this place with people who need Jesus. Let me pray with you and bless you. Right now, the folks are coming up. There's prayer ministry people coming up right now. You know, we've had deaf ears open here at the altar. We've had people have clear words that have given them specific direction for their lives here at the altar. We've had people just touched in so many different ways. People meeting God at the altar. And if you need some specific thing, if you need a touch in your body, you need ministry in any way, you need a breakthrough from the throne, and you just need somebody to pray with you and agree with you, these folks are here ready to pray with you. So you don't have to leave here today without all your needs being met, all right? Father, I just thank you for your goodness, your grace to us. Thank you for my granddaughter who's coming to say hello today. I just thank you that I'm uber blessed in every way. I thank you for this church. We just command your richest blessing as we step into this new year. We declare increase over every issue in our lives. Father, I bless each and every one here. I pray the love of the Father, pray the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the intimate fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one now and always. I ask it all in Jesus' wonderful and precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have an awesome day. If you need prayer, please come. These folks are ready to minister to you. Otherwise, thank you for being here today. God bless you. Have a great day.